Last Sunday, we looked at an amazing experience that Philip had back in Acts chapter 8 when he was called to the town of Samaria. You might remember the story how he and a bunch of others had fled Jerusalem because of persecution, and they went all over the place, and Philip and some others presumably had landed in Samaria because of persecution. And Philip did what came naturally to him. He began to preach. And as the scripture reported, that many people were coming to faith in Christ. People were being baptized. I mean, there was great progress. There was remarkable progress. The church in Jerusalem heard about this, and they sent a couple of people to join in on it. And it was just a great, great time. Among the new believers was a guy named Simon. We looked at him last week. I mean, things were going great. And it's been said that all good things must come to an end. And it seems that for Philip, the time had come to move on. Philip came to Samaria not because he particularly wanted to, but that's where he was led to go because of persecution, and that's where God led him. And during his time there, it was wonderful. God was present. Miracles were occurring. Great days were happening. Jesus was being proclaimed the Savior. People were being baptized, and it was awesome. You'd think that, man, I don't want to ever leave this kind of a setting. But the time came sooner than Philip probably expected for him to move on. And moving on is never an easy thing to do. Today's passage begins in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, with the Lord giving Philip his notice. Kind of his slip, okay? Here's your next assignment. Let's take a look at that. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And so he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of it, of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told them the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. What a great passage of scripture in Acts chapter 8. As I began to read that, the first thing that really caught my eye was right there in verse 26. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" And the reason why this caught my attention is because this verse was a message from God, and the message from God was very clear and direct. There was no hesitation. Philip didn't need to wonder, am I hearing this from God? Is this really God's message? Many times we wonder what God wants from me, what God's will is for me. If only God would make it clear. I know we've all wondered that at different times. We don't want to go astray. It's a good reason. We don't want to mess up. We want to do what's right. We want to go where God wants us to go. We want to do what God wants us to do. And we wonder what? And the good news from this passage, at least, is that God has no trouble making his will known to man. God didn't play games with Philip. It wasn't it wasn't one of these, in movies these days, there's a mystery and you got to go and solve this clue. And then from there you go to another clue and another clue and another clue. And after 14 clues, you finally get to the answer. God isn't doing that. He speaks. He speaks even today. I think more often than not, we have trouble hearing him. Probably because of all the noise and distractions in our lives. But God is speaking. And when God has a clear direction for us, I believe that God will make it obvious and will make it clear. Whenever we find God wanting someone in the scriptures to go somewhere or do something or whatever else, he always makes it very clear. People were known to not like what God had said, but they understood it, right? Moses understood that it was God who was telling him to go to talk to Pharaoh. He did not like the idea. He did not think he was suitable for the job. He had all kinds of excuses why somebody else would be better for the job, but he clearly understood what God's will was for him. Likewise, Gideon. Gideon didn't have to go to his buddies and say, hey, I wonder if God is telling me to lead a small army, bring some people together. It was very clear to Gideon what he needed to do. Jonah, there's another good example. There's a reason why Jonah went in the opposite direction of Nineveh, because he knew that God was calling him to go to Nineveh, and he didn't want to go. We don't always like what God tells us, but the fact that when God has a clear desire for us, I don't think God has any trouble making that known. And the point is simply this, when God has a specific desire for you, a particular location or job or whatever else, God will make that clear. Sometimes we don't hear him because of the distractions in our lives or because we don't like what he might tell us. And really, that's why we need to spend time with the Lord. The Good Shepherd says that the sheep hear his voice and recognize it. We need to come away from all the distractions and the noise in our lives. And friends, today, more than any other time that I know of, there is more noise in our lives than ever. There are more distractions. There are more things happening. And it gets more difficult to spend time listening to the voice of God. And that's what we need to do. We need to turn off some noise. We need to turn off some distractions if we want to hear from God. Well, Philip clearly heard the message from the Lord. He understood what it was, and so he did what he was told. Verse 27, so he started out he went. And you know, one of the challenges of human nature is just to start. There are some things that I have postponed and postponed, some small projects, and then when it finally came time to doing it, it was like, oh, why did I wait so long? It's so much better now. You know, it's like that, isn't it? Whether we're talking about some renovations around the house, or whether we're talking about, you know, something to do with our health. You know, if you got a thorn in your flesh and you don't want to pull it out, you know, it's who wants to dig in there and all that kind of stuff. And you kind of leave it, but it hurts. And then when you finally pull it out, oh, why didn't I do that earlier? So much better now. And sometimes the hardest thing is just taking that first step, is starting out. We're afraid. For Philip, things had been going so well for him in Samaria. He had already fled persecution once, and as we'd seen, he'd come to Samaria and he had led a great revival. The people were flocking. It would have been so easy for him to become logical, like I could be, and settle down and say, no, this is what God wants for me. I need to lead these new believers in the faith. But that's not what God wanted from him. So he had to step out again. And as he started out, Scripture says he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official. Well, as the story progresses, you can see how this was clearly the providence of God. God had a plan. God didn't send Philip down the road just because Philip needed some exercise in the desert. God wanted Philip to minister to this man that he would meet, which is kind of neat, because while Philip was in Samaria, he preached to many groups of people. He preached to large groups of people. We remember Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. He preached to thousands of people. He preached to thousands of people in one day. And we read those stories and we think of those events and we think, wow, you know, God is there. Thousands of people, great crowds. That's where we need to be. And then we think, well, what can I do? And yet we find here in Acts chapter 8, God took Philip out of a great setting where he was being used of God to reach many, many people, and he sent him on a desert road, seemingly for the purpose of connecting with one solitary individual. No fanfare. The Jerusalem Times wasn't there with the reporters. You know, wow, look at all the crowds you've drawn. Just one person. Just one. Sometimes we think that, well, you know, if I'm going to be used of God, I got to do things big. And that's not the case. God is very much interested in reaching one, just one specific individual. Take a moment and think about, who is that one specific individual that might be in your life? It'd be nice if you could get up in front of a crowd and fill up a stadium and start preaching to thousands. God does call some people to that. That's great. But he calls many more to preach to one, to reach out to one. Who's that one individual that maybe God has put into your life or is putting in your life to reach out to? it was inevitable that Philip met lots of people, even on that road. It was a desert road, but it was still a road. He met many people on that road. But God's target that day for Philip was one individual. And simply the point there is, you know, while it's great to think about the multitudes, we mustn't forget the individuals. And as we listen to God's leading, He very well may lead you to make an impact in one individual's life. Even though Philip would have met all kinds of people, he didn't stop all of them and ask them, "Hey, buddy, have you heard the four spiritual laws?" He didn't try to speak to everybody that he would have seen. But the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." And that's what he did. He was obedient. "Go to that chariot and stay near it." There's something symbolic about that. First of all, Philip must have been in good shape. You know, I don't think that chariot was just going half a mile an hour, you know. It was probably moving along at a fairly good clip. And there's Philip keeping up with it. That's pretty cool. But there's something symbolic about that, and that is that if we want to be used by God to make a difference in other people's lives, we need to get close to them. It's as simple as that. We really need to get close to them. And of course, I know that's not always easy, but that's how we make a difference. You can't make a difference in someone's life unless you get to know them. This could mean being a friend to somebody at work or in your neighborhood. It could mean getting to know the person that you do business with by name. It could mean getting to know the other parents that are involved in the same sports as your kids are. We need to get near people. It's too easy to get secluded. It's too easy to withdraw. By going near the chariot, Philip was essentially creating an opportunity. And the truth is, there are opportunities all around us. Well, it turns out that the Ethiopian was reading from the prophet Isaiah. He was looking for answers. He was studying. Perhaps Philip realized that he looked a little confused. So Philip asked a very simple question. It wasn't threatening. It wasn't putting the guy down. It wasn't judging him in any way. It was just a very simple question. "Do you understand what you are reading?" That's a good question. Do you understand? Do you understand where this is taking you? Do you understand what's going on? Talk about being sensitive. Philip came. He drew near, he listened, and then he raised a thought-provoking question. And when the Ethiopian says he doesn't understand, then Philip goes on to tell the man the good news about Jesus. And even there, Philip didn't philosophize. He didn't have to come up with the moral arguments for the existence of God. He didn't debate creation or condemn or praise the political leaders. He simply told the good news. He simply laid out the good news about Jesus. Man, friends, we got so many things that we can get involved in. And I'm not saying they're all bad. There are good things, and there are things we need to get involved in. I understand that. But the bottom line of our lives and the gospel is the good news about Jesus. That's the bottom line. "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." Isaiah chapter 52. That's what Philip was doing. He was talking about Jesus. He was explaining the good news of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. The good news is life-saving. More than anything else, we need this good news in our own lives, personally. No matter how godly your parents have been or not been, no matter how godly your grandmother or grandfather has been, no matter how great somebody else is, a wonderful Christian, you cannot hang on to their godliness and sort of get in that way. We need to exercise our own personal faith. We can't hang on to someone else's faith. That's the good news that we need to grasp individually ourselves. But it's not for ourselves to keep. It's for ourselves to give. One of the most destructive thoughts that the enemy puts into the minds of Christians is that they can't talk about Jesus. Oh, you can't talk about Jesus. Oh, you didn't go to Bible college. You didn't go to seminary. You don't know all the answers. You don't this. You don't that. The truth is, anyone who has a personal relationship with Jesus is qualified to talk about Jesus, because you simply need to talk about what Jesus has done for you. It doesn't take a seminary degree to talk about Jesus any more than it takes a medical degree to tell somebody how a heart transplant has saved your life. You don't have to know the ins and outs of open heart surgery and be able to perform it in order to tell somebody that it has saved your life. You don't have to be a theologian to tell someone what Jesus has done for you. Oh, but what if they don't accept it? Well, that's not up to you. That's not. We can't take ownership over that. Our part is simply to convey the good news. If God is leading you to someone, then your role is obedience, and the Holy Spirit's role is conviction. If you put conviction on someone else, then something isn't right. That's the Holy Spirit's work. It's the Holy Spirit's work to change a life. That's not up to us. Our part is to be bearers of the good news. It starts by drawing near to someone, listening for an opportunity, maybe asking a question that will get the person to reflect upon their own life. And then when they ask, it creates an opportunity to explain. That's what Philip did. And the end result was, as they were coming along, the Ethiopian, he was convinced, and he seen some water, and he couldn't wait any longer, and he says, is there any reason why I can't be baptized here and now? No, there was no reason. And so they stopped the chariot, and down they go to the water. And right there and then, completely out of the blue, as far as man is concerned, but completely within the will of God, this Ethiopian gets baptized by Philip, one individual. All that to say, friends, it's easy. It would have been easy for Philip to have stayed in Samaria. It would have been easy for Philip to keep preaching to the crowds. He had a following. People were excited. Miracles were happening. Things were going his way. But God sent him in a different direction. And of all places, a desert road. Who would have thought it was possible? That certainly wasn't moving up in the world. But it's what God's purpose was for Philip and for the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip heard it, and he responded with the affirmative. And there, on that desert road, by the providence of God and the obedience of a servant, a life was changed forever. God doesn't always take you to bigger and better. He takes you where you are needed. As always, our response is obedience to the Lord, being more interested in what God wants than what we think is best. And in the end, what God wants is really best. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, and Lord, I do recognize how easy it is to just to stay, to enjoy, to be comfortable. And Lord, I understand that you're not asking everybody to get up and move either, but Father, the point is, Lord, as we look in your word, that there are times and there are places, Lord, where you call people out from a particular situation to face a different situation. And Lord, you make it clear, and the purposes are for your kingdom and for your glory. And Father, I pray for us as the church here in Whitehorse, Lord, that we would be a people who collectively have ears to hear your desire for us as a church in our community. And I pray, Father God, that we as individuals would have ears to hear what you'd have for us in our lives, in our community as well, Lord, in the lives of people around us. Father God, that whatever you desire of us, our answer to you would be, yes, Lord. I will follow you. I will walk in obedience with you. And Lord, we trust, we know that in the end, it will bring glory and honor to you. Help us, Father, to be a people of faith. Help us, Father God, to be a people who will go wherever you send us and do whatever you call us to do. And Lord, to leave the results with you, Lord, for your kingdom's sake, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.